are so many people that do so many things for the Lord that go unmentioned. So just want to say thank you.
That's living in light of eternity, and a good message there in song. Well, I thank the Lord for our guests that He's brought us this morning, brother and sister Sinus. And I made a mistake on the bulletin, if you see it, okay. And brother Carey is preaching this morning, not his wife Terry. And I told her, I said, I didn't want to create any confusion. We're not having you preach a message today. But they assured me that a lot of people made that mistake, and so I felt better about myself. So I'm going to fire my secretary this week. And no, not really. But we're glad the Lord has brought them. And we were challenged already this morning in Sunday school. And I know you'll be encouraged now in the worship service. So if you go ahead and take your Bible out. And brother, if you'd come and share with us at this time, I appreciate it.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
If you weren't here for Sunday school, I am Carrie with a K, and she's the Terry with a T. And we are missionaries to the country of Grenada. 90 miles northeast of Venezuela, have a ministry there of working with children and five national church planters. We lead people on missions trips by the hundreds through short-term missions trips. Here to invite you, I want you to pray about the possibility of coming on one of these missions trips in either 2021 or 2022. We're sold out for next year, and so would you hold those up? If you weren't here during Sunday school, please get one of these prayer cards, and also please get one of these trip sheets that will show you all the dates that these are available for the next 3 years. And we really want you to come down. 7 years old, 80 years old has been the range so far. Hundreds and hundreds of teenagers. The Lord has allowed she and I to lead 70 different groups into Grenada, and we're here to invite you. Now, we've never been here before. I don't know who's visitors here today, but I have a favor to ask of the visitors. Please don't leave here today and say, I didn't like that guy. I'm never going back there again. I'm not the pastor. He is. And so give it another shot, if you would. And also, I have an observation. You know, we haven't, to the best of my knowledge, we've never met any of you at all until this morning. And I don't know if you're trying to pull the wool over our eyes or not, but on the surface, at least, you really do seem like nice folks to us. Thank you for that. You're making us feel very loved and welcomed here. Now, as you learned during Sunday school, Terry and I absolutely love what the Lord's allowing us to do. We're very excited about being allowed to serve Him at our age. I'm 69 years old, and we have no intentions of quitting or retiring as long as He gives us the grace and the strength to keep going. And that's our plan. But it wasn't always this way. I got to turn the clock back to when I was 10 years old. I remember hearing arguments that took place amongst adults around me. I'm not blaming anybody for it. It's just what I remember. These arguments centered around the subject of money. I really did, I grew up thinking that, boy, you better have enough money if you've got any chance of finding joy and happiness in your home. You had to have enough money. That's what I believed. So when I was 21 years old, I secured a job in the insurance industry as a commission salesman. There wasn't any benefits of any kind, no salary of any kind. It was straight commission work. But I dove into that job with a passion to succeed. I'm not proud of this. It came at great sacrifice. By the time I was 22 years old, it took me 12 months. I broke every sales record that had ever been set in the entire corporate history of the company. And I started earning an unbelievable amount of money at a very early age. And this company showers me with all these awards and trips to different parts of the world. And the more they awarded me, the harder that I worked. And I quickly found myself selling insurance 6 days a week. Sunday was entirely devoted to paperwork. Just leave me alone. Let me get my paperwork done. There was no time for God, and there was no time for church in my life. Year two, it happened again. I broke my own sales records from the first year. And year three, it happened again. Broke my own sales records from the second year. I started acquiring a lot of material possessions. The world would have called it an empire. And what I mean by that is land and homes and cars and every other material thing you could possibly think of. I acquired it. But something was very wrong. My life was empty. I didn't know why. Why am I not feeling the joy and satisfaction that I thought I would after reaching these different plateaus of success in the world's eyes? Why am I still miserable? I didn't get it. So I started looking for other ways to find satisfaction in my life. This is going to sound silly, but it's true. I thought scuba diving would be the answer. I really did. I studied. I became a certified diver. Started diving in the oceans, diving in deep underwater caves, I was diving in the middle of the night with creatures much bigger than myself. And when I was underwater, yeah, it was a rush. But when I surfaced and put the gear away, there wasn't anything remotely fulfilling about that. So I thought, well, maybe aviation's the answer. And I studied. I became a pilot. I bought an airplane, had the income to do that type of thing. And when I was in the air charting the highways of the skies, yes, it was exciting. But when I flew back to Peoria, Illinois, where we're from, and put the airplane away, no, the emptiness was still there. And I continued to search. Now, I'm going back into the decade of the 70s and 80s now. There used to be a restaurant that was popular during those two decades. Does anybody remember a restaurant chain in the eastern half of the United States by the name of Rax, R-A-X, Rax Roast Beef? Anybody ever heard of it or been there? Well, there are a number of you. My goodness. I've always had a fascination of how that world worked. And I happened to be the guy that got the franchise to start developing the state of Illinois. And that's what I did. I started building Rax Roast Beef restaurants, still selling insurance, had 150 employees, doing millions of dollars worth of sales. And if you would have looked at me from the outside, here's a young man. I was still in my 20s. You would have thought, boy, he's got it all together in his life. I didn't have one single thing together in my life because work was my life. By the time I got in the restaurant world, I had 2 days off a year, and I hated it. I could not stand that my franchise agreement told me I had to shut down all my restaurants on Thanksgiving and Christmas. This sounds terrible, but I wasn't saved yet. I hated Thanksgiving. I hated Christmas. I couldn't wait till they were over with so I could get back to work. That's just the way it was. Now, my certified public accountant comes to me and he asks me a question. I'm not blaming him for what I'm about to share with you guys, but it's just the beginning of what led to an unbelievable, devastating chain of events in my life. My certified public accountant came to me and he said, Kerry, we're getting together to play poker. Would you like to come to our card game? You know, one of the greatest dangers facing our young people in America is the way our cable television channels are promoting the game. These players are being elevated into superstar status, and our kids are watching hundreds of thousands of dollars change hands. It's an addiction that's sweeping our high schools and colleges in America. We need to watch what our kids are watching on television, friends. I want the rest of you to think about something else. I want you to think about the Florida State Lottery. Yep. I want you to think about the Powerball, the Mega Millions. I want you to think about the casinos and the off-track wagering facilities. I want you to think about sports betting and internet gambling. What about a dollar a round at the golf course? What about bingo? I don't know any other way to share this with you other than from my heart. And I want you to know that I'm not here to condemn you, all right? Friends, I'm here to warn you. Every single one of these things, they're nothing but tools of the devil, every single one of them. There's going to be somebody here that says, Brother Sinus, it's only a dollar. We're not hurting anybody. Friends, it was one bite out of a piece of forbidden fruit. Look what's happened to mankind ever since. I'm telling you that Satan's not going to get in your life all at once. But if you choose to participate in these things in any degree whatsoever, it may take weeks, months, or years, Satan will get into your life. He'll take away from you everything that's ever been important to you. It happened to me. And if God would allow me to divert just one of you from going down this God-forsaken path, it would be worth our trip down here from Illinois. Just one person, Lord. I was at this fork in the road, and I chose the wrong fork. I told this my accountant, I said, I'd love to come to your poker game. I went and sat down with him, and yes, there was a lot of money involved. And I found myself having what I believed to be, I thought I was having a good time. I enjoyed their company. They enjoyed mine. They invited me back. Started going to the poker game on a regular basis. Before I knew it, I was introduced to horse racing, where wagers are placed on the outcome. Suddenly, I was going to Chicago and St. Louis many times. Then it was the dog tracks in Iowa. Then it was the highlight games down here in Florida. And then I was introduced to casino gambling. This is going to sound unbelievable. The story I'm telling you happened 40 years ago. Do you know 40 years ago there were 3 cities in all of America that had casinos? 3. Las Vegas, Nevada, Reno, Nevada, Atlantic City, New Jersey. That's where they were. You know, how far do you have to go in today's world to get to one?
Not very far.
How, friends, how did we let that happen? How do we let our lawmakers convince us that bringing a casino to a local community was going to be a good thing? Pouring all this money back and doing all these things was supposed to be good. They're not pouring money back into your local community. They're taking money from your local community. Lives are being destroyed. Families are being shattered. They don't tell you that kind of that's called collateral damage. You're hearing the other side of the story this morning, and we need to pray for our government. I pulled in to get you can't even go into a gas station or a grocery store anymore without it being right in front of your face. You know, how do we let that happen? I pulled in to get gas, and I go in to pay, and this lady's right in front of me. Couldn't help but notice what she was doing. She didn't have any gas. She bought one carton of cigarettes, and she bought a handful of lottery tickets. And her bill was over $80. And she put it on a credit card. My stomach is churning as to how much milk and necessities that could have taken home. How do we let that happen? Illinois brought the state lottery in many years ago as a means to fix our state budget. Our state budget is so far out of control it never will be fixed. Didn't help at all. How do we let that happen? Didn't take very many years, friends. It didn't take very many years that this, what the world would have called an empire, collapsed. I don't mean a partial collapse, 100% universal collapse. All the land, all the homes, all the bank accounts, all the restaurants, stock portfolio, airplane, gone. Everything gone. I hit bottom in my life. Not possible for me to put into words to you the pain. I can't even begin to describe it. But if you don't hear anything else that I say this morning, I really want you all to hear this. Accept the Lord. Build the house. They labor in vain that build it.
Yes.
Psalm 127:1. I didn't want to go on. I really thought my life as I knew it was over. And I wrote a letter to my family. I said goodbye. I went out in the country and I tried to kill myself. For whatever reason, the Lord spared my life. But I spent the next 6 weeks in the hospital. They dismissed me. Let me ask you a question. Where do you even begin? Where do you even begin to pick up the pieces when the only lives you've ever known it has been taken away? I didn't have a clue where to begin. But one day, I stumbled into what happened to be a Bible preaching church. I did not know that. But I stumbled in there and said, I'm just like you are here this morning, broken, totally broken. The pastor steps up to the pulpit, and the very first words out of the pastor's mouth, would you open up your Bibles, please? I didn't have one, friends, but take your Bible and open it up to the 119th Psalm, if you would. I want to show you something. And I want you to know that at that point in my life, even if I would have had a Bible, I couldn't have found the book of Psalms. I couldn't have found it without going to the table of contents first. I knew nothing, but I listened to what the pastor had to say. He says, go to the 119th Psalm, he says. We're going to take a look at the first few words of verse number 71. Go to verse 71. The first few words say this. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. What? Is that what that says? That's what my Bible says. And I have a question for you, friends. How in the world is that possible? How is it possible that affliction of any kind could ever be considered to be good? That didn't make any sense to me at that point in my life. But God's word is very clear to us about the answer to that question. Just look at the next few words. That I might learn. Wow. That I might learn. That I might learn what? Look at those last two words, thy statutes. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. When Pastor read that verse, something hit me right between the eyes. Leave your Bibles open. I'm going to come back there in just a little bit. Do you know that Pastor's entire sermon was on verse 71? He never went anywhere else. His whole sermon, he preached on verse 71 the same day that I stumbled through those doors. Was that a coincidence? I don't believe it was. You know, it was one of those times you feel like you're the only one there being spoken to. That's what it felt like. Many of you have experienced that before. At the end of the sermon, Pastor starts talking about something else. He starts talking about trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I perk up again, what in the world is this man talking about? You got to understand something. When I lived in that business world all those years, every fiber of my being was consumed with business. If I had ever heard that before, one in one ear and out the other. Why is this new to me today? Also, living in that business world, I never did anything without a meeting or an appointment. I did not trust Christ as my Savior when Pastor gave the invitation, but I sure waited for him out in the foyer. He dismisses the service, and I said, Pastor, I want an appointment. Let's have a meeting in your office. And we set it up. It was December 21st, 1988. He's the man that God used to lead me to trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior that day. I was 38 years old before I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I was baptized 2 weeks after that. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's not been an easy road. Satan's attacks are very real in the area of discouragement. Appreciate your prayers about this. Attack number one comes like this. Look at you, Carrie, 38. Wasted years. Look how God might have used you earlier in your life to help further his kingdom if you hadn't waited so long. Attack number two, without questions in the financial world. Look at you, Carrie. You had it all. You lost it all. Look how God might have used you that way to help further his kingdom if you hadn't been so foolish. I'm ashamed to tell you this. This is sickening to me. All those years I lived in that business world, I never saw a need. I never saw one. And today I see needs every day of my life. It hurts. It hurts to be reminded of what those resources could have been used for if I hadn't been so foolish. But God's word is very clear to us on something about Satan. His days are numbered. Praise the Lord for that. If you'd have told me 40 years ago, Carrie, one day God's going to use you as a full-time missionary. If you'd have told me that 40 years ago, I would have looked you in the face and I would have said, friend, you are totally insane. Insane. There isn't any money in that world. Count me out. And that's how I would have measured it back then. Missions. Yeah, I would have measured it from a business standpoint. God had other plans. People ask us all the time, how did you get into full-time ministry later in life? Very simply, it happened like this. Terry and I went on something called a short-term missions trip. We had no intentions of doing anything else with it. Just get in, get out, get on with life. And our life has never been the same since. In May of 2001, Terry and I surrendered. We surrendered to full-time ministry. We surrendered to God, of course, and to Grenada, that part of the world. Yes, this is where we'll serve. And we came back. Now, Terry and I have to go to something called Missionary Candidate School. Do you know that Terry and I went to Missionary Candidate School in our 50s? Sitting right next to these young kids right out of Bible college, and here's us. Never too late to start serving the Lord, is it? Friends, do you know that Moses was 80 years old before he started serving the Lord? It's never too late to start. Right where you're at, it's never too late to start. We came back, you know, when we got out of Missionary Candidate School, we were expected to do two things simultaneously. We were expected to do full-time ministry, full-time deputation at the same time, and that is exactly what we've done for 18 and a half years now. And it brings up two prayer requests. You know, you get this many people in the room, I want to leave two very specific prayer requests with you. Some of you I know are prayer warriors without even asking. And I want you to know it's not easy for me to talk about money because of the world that I used to live in. It's not easy for me to talk about this. Terry and I do need monthly financial support for this ministry. Why? Why would an 18 and a half year missionary need monthly financial support? Something happened. That's what we want you guys to know about. We got notification that one of our supporting churches threw in the towel, totally closed down, no longer exists. It's the fourth one. for supporting churches closed. That's not unique to us. It's just a sign of the times.
Yes.
Some of you remember the decade of the 70s. You guys have something very unique here. But some back in the 70s, some of you remember, church life was a priority in people's lives. In today's world, people have 10 different things to choose from on Sunday, and church is not at the top of the list. Well, we'll come if nothing else comes up. That's just the way it is. Churches that are trying to maintain the standards, like you guys, with the King James Bible and the hymnals, they're in a state of shrinkage nationwide. There's 4,000 more churches expected to close in the next 12 months. That's just a sad statistic. But the prayer request is this. What these four church closures have fractured our support base. And the prayer request, would you pray with us that with God's help, Terry and I would pray up one church and one family that would want to partner with this ministry for $25 a month. That's what we're praying about, $25 a month. Why $25 a month? Friends, budgets are strained everywhere we go. We don't want to be a burden to anybody, and with God's help, we're going to repair these fractures in small, bite-sized steps. And one church, one family for $25 a month. Thank you for praying about that. The second prayer request has to do with our vehicle. I'm thankful for our van out there with Illinois tags. It's 15 years old, and I'm not complaining about that. I'm thankful for it. But Terry and I drive hundreds of thousands of miles here in America when we're in between these missions trips. We come and share this story and invite people. But there's things on this van that I have to get done to keep it roadworthy. I mean, this is just one example. We don't have any heat. Now, that don't mean anything to you guys down here. Where we live, it means a lot. And with our winter coming up, you know, I got to get it fixed. And other things I got to get fixed on that van to keep it on the road. So would you, we don't want to be a burden to anybody, but if anybody would be able to help us specifically with van expenses, that's what that jar out on the table is for. And we'd be very grateful for your help if you could. Let me get back here and wrap this up. I left off with verse 71. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Back up to verse number 67, if you would. I want to show you this. It says, the first part of verse number 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. That's exactly what happened to me. And lastly, I want you to see verse number 72. Verse number 72 says this, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Do you know what I believe the author is trying to tell us? I just see this because of the world that I used to live in. I believe that the author is trying to tell us very simply that joy wasn't coming from all of the stuff. Now, I don't want this to come out the wrong way. I want you guys to know, and I believe this with all my heart, there's nothing wrong if you happen to live in a nice home. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong if you happen to be driving a nice vehicle. There's nothing wrong with that either. As long as you do not let those things control your life.
Amen.
I know people that's lost their entire home over lottery tickets. I do. As long as you don't let those things control your life, as long as you don't let the pursuit of those things control your life, there's nothing wrong with having them. But America has become a very materialistic country. Friends, do you know that the storage shed business in America has recently passed $1 billion with a B, dollars in annual revenue. Americans have so much, don't know what to do with it. Let's stuff it in these buildings and pay rent. Doesn't that make sense? Let it collect dust. These people in Grenada, they don't have anything. They have zero. They don't have anything that we would ever consider to be material, all right? But I want you to catch this. This is very important. They are happy people. They're happy. They don't have any of those things to clutter up their lives. It's a precious thing to see. Terry and I want you all to see this with your own eyes. And you just pray, Lord, if this is something you'd have me do, take me and use me however you would. Make sure you get the prayer card, the trip sheet. Terry, those of you that weren't here during Sunday school, you see, you have any left? Terry is giving away nutmeg to make your pumpkin fresh nutmeg, much fresher than you can get in the store. Still in the nut. And she'll show you how to use it. Baking your pumpkin pies in a few weeks. Bake one for you, bake a second one for us, and we'll come back down and have pie with you. Get it all, friends. Thanks for giving me your time this morning. I want to be respectful of your time. Pastor, turn it over to you, brother.
Amen. You know, it's powerful. We would never make that statement, it's good to be afflicted. But it is, that we might learn. Maybe you've been reminded of some things this morning, priorities in your life. Maybe God's spoken to you about something. I know He spoke to my heart. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We'll have a word of prayer and then an invitation time. Let me challenge you. If the Lord's laid something on your heart, if He's moving you to a decision, friend, respond when the Holy Spirit speaks. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He wants what's best for us. We can trust Him. Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You for knowing where we need chastisement, where we need direction. We thank You for drawing each one. We've been reminded in Your Word that since You were lifted up on the cross, You're drawing all men to Yourself. We thank You for drawing Brother Carey earlier in his life, for using him at this stage of his life, for the reminder that You want to use us if we will simply respond. Dear Lord, I know You've spoken to hearts in ways even beyond the message this morning. I pray that we would respond, that we would be obedient. Please bless this invitation. In Your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed?